Good morning, everybody. Shmuel Klosser coming at you live from the Cincinnati Community Kollel. We just finished making a minyan at Chabad at the Lubavitch Yeshiva. We start at 9:30, and we were zochah to be marshaling that minyan to complete it. And now we're here at the Kollel in the boardroom. And thank God we're here to learn Torah after doing some avoda. Now we do the Torah. Here we go. This is Introduction to Talmud 101. We meet Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 10:30 to 11:15. We're currently studying the tractate known as Tainus, and we're on 3B. Okay, and we ended off last time we met studying Elijah and Ahav, and how Elijah had said the language, I'm going to hold back the rain. He said, by the life of Hashem, the God of Israel, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years except according to my word. And then God said, Go appear before Ahav, and I'll send rain upon the earth. So you see that God is not mentioning dew. Why is God leaving out tau? Why is God leaving out dew? Answer, delo mitzar, because dew is never withheld. Even during the years of drought, dew continued to fall. If that's true, if dew continued to fall, even during the drought, well, what does that say about Elijah's vow? Elijah had said, I'm not going to let any rain or dew fall. And yet the dew was continuing to fall. So doesn't that make a liar out of Elijah? Thank you. What is this? Pineapple soda. Thank you, Mendel. So the answer that the Talmud gives is even the dew of blessing will also not fall. The dew that will fall during the drought will not be a blessing. It won't cause any plant growth. That's what Elijah said to Ahav. Even the dew of blessing will not fall. But the dew that will fall, because dew always falls, the dew that will fall won't be for a bracha. I'm going to hold back the dew that falls for a blessing, and you can have the dew that's going to fall. That won't be for a blessing, because dew always falls. Okay? So then if that's the case, so then let the Almighty restore the dew of blessing, which is to say, why did God not tell Elijah to inform Ahav of the restoration of the dew of blessing at the end of the drought? Inform him, I'm now going to give you the dew of blessing. Until now, you've got the dew of not blessing. Now I'm going to give you the dew of blessing. Why didn't God tell Elijah to inform Ahab of that? Answer, because the restoration of the dew of blessing is not discernible. It's not mukar or nikar. You can't really see it. You don't notice it. You don't know it. It is so subtle. The dew of blessing is not discernible. And if, therefore, according to this, if Eliyahu HaNavi had informed the king Ahab of the restoration of the blessed dew, then Ahab, being wicked, would have taunted Elijah by denying that it was withheld in the first place, because you can't even know if the dew of blessing is indeed falling. All right, now we continue. So we learned that Rabbi Hanina's assertion that dew is never withheld. Good, now we know that. And now we're going to learn that the winds are never withheld. But how do we know that? Because Rav Hanina had said, remember the Bryce had said, the sages don't obligate somebody to mention praise for dew and wind because, Rav Hanina says, because they're never withheld. The world cannot survive without them. God gives it to us gratis. He gives us dew on the vegetation. The vegetation needs that little sprinkling of early morning mist. Otherwise, you know, it's not going to do well for some of the plants. And wind, you need the wind in order to get rid of the humidity and the heat. God sends the wind and cools things down. So he's always sending dew and he's always sending the wind. I would have thought, as I'm going to say a little bit later on again, I would have thought that's really absolutely a reason to praise God, that he sends the dew and he sends the wind. And that's incredible that he does that on a daily basis, and we should be very grateful for that. And we therefore should acknowledge it and praise God for it in the Shemoneh Esrei. And yet the Brisa said, nah, you know, batal of ruchos lo chivu chachamim la'asker. In the Brisa over here in Tainus 3a, we learn that our sages did not obligate somebody to mention praise of God for dew and rain and wind. But if you want to, if you want to mention it, you can mention it. I would have thought, my goodness, I mean, if God's sending dew and wind without which the land and the world can't really function very well. It would be incredibly hot or humid without the moving of the wind around. So that should be all the more reason to praise the Almighty. And yet it's like, no, you're not obligated to praise God. I would have thought you very much have to praise God. But okay, hold on to that. That's just my little question. So we just explored that dew is always falling. And now let's explore wind. Okay, Rabbi Chanina asserted that wind is also never withheld. But from where do you know that winds are never withheld? Where does it say that in the Torah, that the wind is never withheld? Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Yeshua ben Levi said as follows. Demakra, because the Pasuk says in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 10, Ki ka'arba ruchos ha-shemayim peirasti eschem. For like the four winds of the heaven, I have spread you, Nu Mashem, says the Almighty. Who's you? Who's God spreading? Klal Yisrael. Excuse me. The Almighty has spread the Jewish people throughout the whole wide world, to the four corners. So the Pasuk says, because like the four winds of the heavens, I've spread you. Okay, Mike Amalu, what is, like an informational question. What exactly is God intending with those words through Zechariah? For like the four winds of the heavens, I've spread you, says God. What's the meaning of that? What is God telling Klal Yisrael? Elema achi karmelu agar zvarchu Yisrael. If you want to say this is what the Almighty intended to say to Israel, div dar tinchu ba'ar baruche de'alma, I have scattered you to the four corners of the earth. And when we say arba ruchos, literally the four winds, what we really mean is the four corners, the four corners of the earth. But that's the language that's used. I'm scattering you to the four, not to the four winds of the earth. What's really meant is the four corners of the earth. There's an idea that there were four corners of the earth. It's a phrase. It's a way of understanding. You know, to the nth extreme, all over the world. You're going to the nth degree. You're going to Iceland. You're going to go to Bombay. You're going to go to Australia. And you're going to go to Canada and Russia and Argentina and South Africa. The Jews will be everywhere. They're going to be spread out all over the world. Okay? Because just like, for like the four corners of the four winds of the heaven, I've spread you. So what does it mean? If you want to say it means I've scattered you to the four corners of the earth. If that's true, if you want to say that, so then why does the Pasuk say, like the four corners of the earth? That indicates like a metaphor. It's not real? You don't really mean that? I mean, Hashem's only going to send us like the three corners of the earth, not really four. Hashem's not going to send us to the extremities of the world. Is God just talking like in a metaphor? He doesn't really, really, really mean it? So is that what you're saying? Because that seems to be, maybe you're gleaning that from the letter K, like the four corners I'm spreading you. Well, what does that mean? It's like a metaphor? Hashem doesn't really mean that? Should have stated to the four corners of the earth. Okay? If you're going to say that Hashem is scattering you to the four corners of the earth, then it should have said in Latin, the indicative voice, not the subjunctive. It should have been with more definitiveness. I am definitely sending you to the four corners of the earth. That's what it should have. That's what it should have said. But God doesn't use that phraseology. Or Zechariah the prophet doesn't use that. He says, "Ki'arba, like the four corners of the earth, I'm spreading you out." What does that mean? Like the four corners? Is it really like the four corners or not? You see that if God wanted to really truly mean absolutely to the four corners of the earth, then he would have said, Ba'aba Ruchos, literally in the four corners, meaning to the four corners of the earth. What's this idea? Like the four corners of the earth. What is God getting at? Elohachi Kama. This is what God really meant when he said, like the four corners of the earth. Kishem She'ef Shalom and Barulo Ruchos, just as like it is impossible for the world to exist without winds, kach ef shel olam below Yisrael. So too, it is impossible for the world to exist without Israel, without Klal Yisrael. And therefore, it's evident that winds are essential for the world's existence, and therefore they're never withheld. Just like it is impossible for the world to live without wind, it's also impossible for the world to exist without Klal Yisrael. Now, how do you know that Klal Yisrael is the secret sauce to the existence of the world? Any ideas? How do we know that without Klal Yisrael, there's no world?
That's the reason why the world was given,
right.
As it was, the world was made for the Torah,
exactly.
And the Torah was given to the
very
Jews.
Good. That's
and
right.
As the Jews,
that's right.
The world will explode.
Very good. That's, in my mind, it's exactly right. But we're going to find a pasuk that will provide that source. Here's the footnote. Without winds, the world would cease to exist due to the humidity and heat that would accumulate. Similarly, the world cannot survive without Klal Yisrael. How do you know? Because the pasuk in Jeremiah says, Jeremiah 33, verse 25, Ko amar Hashem, thus says God. This is a very, very famous pasuk. You got to know it. Im lo brisi yomim v'layla, if not for my covenant day and night, I'm translating literally, then chuko shemayim v'aretz lo samti, then the laws of heaven and earth I would not have fixed, I would not have given. Okay? If not for my covenant day and night, the laws of heaven and earth I would not have fixed. Mendel, go.
The Nazis said this pasuk, then why didn't they? Why did they want to kill Jews?
Ah, well,
they this pasuk, why
okay.
Did they want to kill Jews, though?
Good question. And how do they understand the pasuk anyway? If not for my covenant, meaning with whom? But who did Hashem have a covenant with, according to Jeremiah? Not with the non-Jews.
Abraham.
Yeah, and in general with, yeah, with Klal Yisrael, exactly. So how do they understand it? I have no idea how they understand anything, frankly. I mean, I consider myself knowledgeable, but not so well-versed that I have a Christian understanding of that verse. To me, that's just screaming that it's all about the Jewish people, and it's all about the covenant. But what does Hashem mean by the word bris over here? So the Gemara Nedarim 32a derives that the natural order, that in other words, the day-to-day life that we lead, that the sun comes up, and the earth spins in its rotation, and the stars are set in the heavens, and that there's planets out there, and that there's water, and that there's air, and that there's all this stuff in the natural world. The natural order depends upon what? Either Brisi, Hashem's covenant, meaning the study of the Torah and the observance of the Torah, or what else could the word bris mean? What can it refer to? Bris mila, circumcision. So that also can be a way to understand it. That without the mitzvah bris mila, chukav shemayim v'aretz lo samti, Hashem never would have bothered to give and create a world. He wants human beings to refine themselves. He wants to put the mark, a godly mark on every Jew to make sure you remember to behave yourself and not to go wild and not let your passions overcome you. So therefore, the pasuk says, thus is Hashem, if not for my covenant, either Torah study and observance in general, and or the mitzvah of bris mila, if not for that day and night, then the laws of heaven and earth I would not have fixed. And so the verse cited in our Gemara over here is to be understood like this. Like the four winds of the sky, I have spread you to the ends of the earth, just as the four winds are spread out over the world in order to sustain it, so is Israel spread out over the world to sustain it. Hopefully our being all over the world enables the world to be sustained, and that we people can observe us and say, oh, what well-behaved children, what nice parents, they're raising their kids right, they're living the moral, ethical, godly life. Jewish people have to make sure that we are ever cognizant and that we behave accordingly, that we are the Ama Nivchar and we're Hashem's chosen people. And if we misbehave and don't do what we've got to do, then we're an embarrassment to the Almighty, and we can't be that. Must never be an embarrassment to God. Everything that we do has got to be done, especially in public, so that people will say, ah, that's a nachas ruach. Look at this guy. He's got the Torah. He behaves so beautifully. He's just so upstanding. He's such a moral and ethical individual. He's so wise and loving and charitable. That's how a Jew has to look to the world. Otherwise, we're not getting there. We're not doing what we got to do. And we continue. Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina is not done with us. He already said to us earlier, the Fishay Netzaren, the dew and the winds are never withheld. Okay? He continues. Hilkach Mosachama. Okay, there's a, we're going to now learn that one is not obligated to mention dew and wind in the Shemoneh Esrei, but it's permissible to do that. Amar Rabbi Chanina. Hilkach Mosachama. Therefore, in the summertime, summertime means the time period of 6 months between Pesach and Sukkot, which is what we're in right now as we speak, in the month of Av, Menachem Av, in English, August 20-something or other, 22 or whatever. So therefore, in the summer between Pesach and Sukkot, Amar Mashiv Aruch, you are allowed to say, if you do say Mashiv Aruch, he makes the wind blow, that's okay. Because remember, wind is always with us, even in the summertime. And especially in the summertime, to keep the humidity and the heat from overwhelming us. So if somebody gets up and says the phrase Mashiv Aruach in the summertime, that's good because, you know, he's not obligated to say it, but he's not making a false statement because the wind is always with us 24 hours a day, every single day of the year. But there's only one problem. So in Machzir Noto, you don't make him return to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei and start all over again, because he didn't say anything offensive. He acknowledged reality. Hashem is always sending the wind. Even in the summertime, he sends the wind. You do feel a little bit of wind in Israel in the summertime. I mean, you know, the air moves around. So that's okay. That's not offensive. I'm a morid Hashem. But imagine saying the words, he makes the rain fall during the summertime when there is indeed no rain falling. We don't want the rain to fall. And in Israel, if you've been there, you'll see that there is no rain falling during 6 months. It's an amazing, it's like San Diego weather on steroids. It's sunny and dry and beautiful and hot every single day. No rain. Imagine a guy gets up and says, Morid HaGeshem, right now, today, in the summertime. Imagine he says that during Shemoneh Esrei. That's not right. That's completely offensive because there is no rain during the hot summer season in Israel, and we don't want to pray for rain. I know it's a declaration of fact. We've been through this already. Mashiv Ruach is just a declaration. It's a statement of reality. That Hashem makes the wind blow, makes the rain fall. I get that. But we don't want to even be like perceived as praying for rain or making this declaration that God makes the rain fall. For 6 months, he doesn't make the rain fall in Israel. So therefore, if somebody were to make a mistake and say those words, Morid HaGeshem, in the Tchias HaMeisim prayer of Shemoneh Esrei, guess what? Machzirin Oto. He must return to the beginning of the bracha and recite it without this insertion. Ata Gibor. You got to go back to Ata Gibor. Because it is a wrong thing to say. Footnote. Rain is indeed withheld at times. Consequently, the mention of rain in one's prayer is of significance. Since rain in the summer is an indication of curse, because it adversely affects the harvest, one who mentioned rain in his prayers during the summer has prayed improperly and must repeat the bracha. Now, if you finish the bracha of Baruch Hashem Achaya Mason, imagine he said that, and he didn't realize his mistake. He's got to go back to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. Wow. Now, conversely, what about the wintertime? The most Hagishamim, during the days of rain, meaning in the rainy season in Israel, meaning from Sukkot to Pesach, in the wintertime, lo amar mashiv ruach in machzir noto. If somebody left out the phraseology, mashiv ruach, he makes the wind blow, then he doesn't have to return to the beginning of the bracha, because wind is never withheld. So it's of no consequence whether one mentions wind or not. Because God in his great mercy always sends the wind. And if you leave it out, I personally think you shouldn't, but the rabbis take a different approach, and they say, listen, since God is always sending the rain, always, every single day, so therefore if you leave it out, it's okay, you left it out, but no harm done. Okay, so now in the winter season, in the rainy season, if somebody leaves out, if he omits the phrase, Mashiv HaRuach, those two words, if he leaves those out, he makes the wind blow. If he forgot to say that, he's supposed to say it. But if you forgot to say Mashiv Aruch, no need to return to the beginning of the bracha. Because again, we have to be very grateful to God, but we do take something, it seems to me, I shouldn't say a nonchalant approach to the wind, but a realization that every day we get wind, and without it we couldn't survive. So God in His mercy sends us the wind. We should be appreciative every single day. But okay, you're not going to get penalized if you leave it out. That's maybe a way to look at it. You will not get penalized if you leave it out. However, in the rainy season, when we're seeking, when we're looking for rain, if the guy forgot to say the words, Morid HaGeshem, Lo Morid HaGeshem, and he forgot to say the words, God brings the rain, He makes the rain fall. Guess what? That's exactly what I do want in the wintertime. I do want the rain to fall. And you left that out during the rainy season when we pray for rain? And when we make a declaration, we praise God for sending the rain, and you left it out, the acknowledgement that God sends the rain in the rainy season, how could you omit that? How could you leave that out? Lord, I'm worried about Geshem, Machzirin Otel. You make him, you force him to return back. He has not done his job properly, okay, either privately or as a chazan. You have to return the person. Over here, it's how he's talking about the chazan, because we have the ability to be machzirato, we have, you know, it's in the hip field, it's causative. We cause him to return back. I mean, you can't do that privately. How do you know what people are saying privately? But if a man, if the Baal Tefila gets up and he leaves out the important declaration of fact that God sends the rain in the rainy season, you left that out, you got to go back. He must return. And the footnote, according to the Rush, this means that one who finished the bracha of Machayeh Amesim, and he didn't recite the phrase Morid HaGeshem, he must return to the beginning of Shemot Esrei. How about that? Of course, if he became aware earlier, it's sufficient to recite it at that point and then continue. So if you remember where you're holding, don't say, if you remember, oh, I didn't say Morid HaGeshem. So come to a place where you're able to, a safe harbor where you can say Mashiach Morid HaGeshem, and then you cap off with the bracha of Machayeh Amesim. Okay, so things are a little bit inverted. In the wintertime, you have to say Morid HaGeshem. In the summertime, you must not say Morid HaGeshem. And Rechanina concludes as follows. V'lo od, and not only that, Ela afilo ama maver haruach umafriach hatal. This is an unusual phraseology. I've never seen this before until my learning over here of Titus. But even when we said the phrase Ma'avir Haruach, he removes the wind, Umafriya Chatal, and he makes the dew fly away. Has anybody ever seen that declaration, that phrase, that God removes the wind and makes the dew fly away? I mean, God makes, he removes the wind? He removes the wind? God doesn't remove the wind. How does he remove the wind? We need the wind every single day to move around the air so we can breathe a little bit easier. Get rid of the heat and the humidity. What do you mean? He removes the, I don't even know what that means. And he makes the dew fly away. The dew flies away? I mean, at a certain point it burns off because the sun comes up and the sun kind of burns off the moisture from the dew. So it hits the leaves and hits the ground. Every single day, thank God, God does that for us. But, all right, so you say this unusual phrase. And somebody who says this phrase, quote, he removes the wind and he makes the dew fly away. We don't make him return to the beginning of the blessing. Since the wind and the dew are never withheld, even this insertion is of no consequence. Even somebody who said this unusual phraseology, he removes the wind and makes the dew fly away. The fact is that God makes the wind every single day and he sends the dew every single day. Okay? So, since wind and dew are actually never withheld, and this phrase is very unusual because it sounds as if God is not sending the rain and not making the wind blow and not sending the dew. It's what it sounds like, and that's not factual because he does make the wind blow and he does make the dew hit the leaves and the ground. So what are you saying? It doesn't even sound like it's factually accurate. And what if somebody gets up there and says this? The answer is, leave him alone. You didn't have to make him go back, because what he really said was like nothingness, because the wind is always there. It's never withheld. The dew is never withheld. So even that insertion that this guy is saying, which strikes me as being factually inaccurate, and therefore I would stop him, me personally, I said, what are you saying? Not even true. But the reality, the metzias of the world is not like what he's saying, and we therefore ignore what he's saying, and it's of no significance. What he says has no consequence, and you just let him keep on cooking along. It seems like he made up a phrase. I mean, where do you see this? He makes up a phrase, and people say, oh, let him go. What he said was just like Narishkeit, because it's not even true. It's amazing. Okay? And there's no footnote on it. I wonder if there's a Rashi on it. Ma'avir haruach ma'afriach hatal. Ma'avir haruach shelo yinashev. That it shouldn't blow. U'ma'afriach hatal shelo yered. And that it shouldn't fall down. In ma'chzir nato. Because those things are never withheld. So Rashi does comment. Tarshish does not. Okay. So Rashi is giving us Parshat Taich as to how to understand the words, but nothing deeper than that, no further discussion than that. And you know, here's a good place to stop, because not only is it close to our usual time when we usually do stop, mostly because we're going to be introduced to a new Braisa. And the previous Braisa taught us about dew and wind. Now, God willing, when we meet again, we're going to learn about clouds and wind. We're going to learn about how Hashem allows clouds to form. And what, if anything, do we say about that? So that should be, God willing, it's going to be front and center, our very first thing we discuss on Monday morning. We're going to come back, God willing, and look at a Braisa discussing clouds and wind and what happens if you want to mention them. And it should be very exciting. Clouds and wind. So wishing everybody a great Shabbos. Enjoy. Have a good Shabbos Kodesh. God's help, we'll see you Sunday morning for the Midrash class. As usual, we'll continue on in Midrash with Judah and Joseph meeting each other, having a discussion. We look forward to that continuation of those Midrashim over there. That's 9:45 a.m. Eastern, live over the phone, coming to you live from Gulf Manor Synagogue. You're allowed to join us in person Sunday morning at the shul, 9:45 a.m. And I wish everybody a good Shabbos. So Midrash, 9:45 a.m. on Sunday. Talmud, 10:30 a.m. on Monday. The book club at 1 o'clock later that day. Wishing everybody a great Shabbos. All the best. Thank you, Jake and Mitch, for all you do for Gulf Manor Synagogue and our School of Jewish Studies. Everybody have a great Shabbos. School Pops signing off. Take care and be well, everybody. Bye for now.